Blog Talk Radio.
My face to that first thing this morning. Everyone, thanks a lot for tuning in. I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone is having themselves a great day or got off to a great start of their day. You're listening to Lock the Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder, CEO of Locker-Report.com, where you'll find out about NFL stars of tomorrow today. So everyone, this is the week that we've been waiting for. Well, at least myself, I've been waiting for ever since the final seconds of the Super Bowl for week one of the NFL. Week one of the NFL is almost like waking up on Christmas morning. Well, for myself, personally, for the next several months, every weekend is going to be like Christmas morning because we have some football. And we had a taste of some good football. Well, I ain't going to say good, but we had some NFL action past Thursday night when the Atlanta Falcons had played the reigning Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Eagles. And I'll talk a little bit about that game, not as much about the outcome, so to speak, but at least one particular player that plays for because he is a part of what I normally talk about with the NFL Regional Combine, with his platform. As you know, like I said in the very beginning of the show when we first started, back in April, and I think L.A. for giving me the opportunity to be able to talk sports instead of writing all the time. As I talked about how I'm going to focus primarily on the guys that came through the NFL Regional Combine platform, players that you don't know about now, but down the road you will hear, like the Adam Dillons of the world who came through the process. Alarendo Villanueva, left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers, coming through the process. Johnny Heckler, who's a full-time all-pro punter for the Los Angeles Rams. Greg Zuerlein, kicker for the Los Angeles Rams. All four of those guys were Pro Bowlers last year. Really didn't have too much of a big name out there, but down the road, coming through the platform of the NFL Regional Combine, that's where you'll find these stars all of a sudden just really start to surface, but they've been around. And my job is to enlighten you of some players whose names that you will hear about. And some of the guys I will mention today. Look at a guy named Jotavius Brown, who's the middle linebacker for the San Diego Chargers. Yes, Joey Bosa and those guys, Mark Ingram, those guys are there, you know, holding it down. But in the middle, number 57. First year in the NFL as a rookie, he led the team in tackles. Last year, he finished second in tackles. He's a legit player. Everyone's going to know about him really soon, probably within this year or next year. So he's an example of a guy, you know, to watch out for, who's the next up-and-coming player that's going to do some great things, you know, in this league. And that's what I want to talk to you about. But before I get into today's show, just going to give you a heads up. Later in the show, I will talk about week one. I will talk about some of the matchups, but I will focus it around the guys that came through the RC. Also touch, you know, based on some of the players that came through the International Players Pathway Program. And I explain a little bit about that with some of those players. That's what the league is doing to bring in more players from the UK to be able to play in the NFL. But to start off, I will talk about the guys who made it to the NFL this year via the RC, NFL Regional Platform, and players who will get an opportunity to play this weekend, and how many players that actually made it in. Now, this year actually was a record number to start on week one. Last year, there were 71 players, NFL Regional Combine umbrella, I would say, because the platform have a couple. Along with the Combine, then you have your Pro Player Combine, which is a combine set up for players that were in the league a year prior, but find themselves either out of the league or probably on someone's practice squad, and they just want to have the opportunity to get back in front of more NFL scouts to try to rejuvenize their NFL career and also the International Players Pathway Program, which is set up where the NFL will have in this program at least four players that played in rugby or played overseas in their respective sport. And what they do is they look at certain players and recognize what their skill set may be and pretty much pinpoint where they'll probably be more suitable in the NFL. 2 years ago is when they started, where they had a couple of players. We have a guy named Alex Jenkins. They looked at him as being pretty much a defensive end. He was with the Saints, tight end named Alex Gray. He actually was a part of the Atlanta Falcons last year. Then you had another guy, Efren Ogbonna, who was playing for the Carolina Panthers. He's a defensive end. And then you had another guy named Eric. I know I'm going to botch his name. He's Nigerian. But his first name, Eric, last name, Nzikwedi. And he's a linebacker for the Bucs. Now, the first year when they came through the platform, the NFC South was the pilot division where the players had to go to be a part of that practice squad. That was the only division in 2017 that allowed 11 players to be on a practice squad. And those guys had to come in, learn the game, be around the culture, understand the position, how to execute. And then the following year, which rotated around to this year, then they would be treated like any other player. They had to find a way to make the team. They had to play hard to make sure they earn a spot on the team. And only one of those of the original four actually made an active roster, and that was Efe for the Carolina Panthers. He actually made the 53-man active roster, defensive end. He had a solid preseason, solid training camp, where he did register a sack and a couple of tackles. So congratulations to him. He earned a spot on the team, and so now he's ready to see what he's going to do for the Panthers. Now, Jenkins and Gray, they both made the practice. Well, the other three remaining players, they actually were good enough to make the practice squad for their previous teams they was on. This year, they had five players. One of them actually got drafted and made the active roster for the Philadelphia Eagles, and that is Jordan Mailata, who was a 6'8 left tackle that the Philadelphia Eagles had put on. He did not suit up Thursday night, but he is on that active roster. And then you look at the teams that's hosting this year's workouts, and it's the AFC North, where you have your Ravens, your Bengals, your Steelers, and your Browns. So they all have players on the team that's going to be a part of this year's program. They're going to be on the practice squad. They're not going to see the field this year, but I hope those guys will be as successful as the first four as they went through the process last year. Now, the part that I'm enjoying the most is with the regional combine, then you get to the pro player combine. The pro player combine has right now exactly seven players on NFL rosters currently. And with the workouts that they had actually 2 years ago, two of the biggest names that came through the pro player combine is fullback Tommy Bohannon, who was with the Jacksonville Jaguars last year. He almost gave up on his NFL career to work with his father. But the pro player came about. That's when he decided to go ahead and try out for it to see if he can try to get back in the good graces of the NFL. The Jacksonville Jaguars called him up, called his number. And last year, he helped to pave the way for the best rushing attack in the NFL. And by doing so, he also scored three times. He's a good pass catcher out the backfield as a type four tight end. And so he scored three times last year, and he's very instrumental for the Jaguars. And personally, I thought for sure he was going to make the Pro Bowl last year because he played a very, very important key for that team and on that offensive line. I'm expecting him to actually build off of that and still be just as good this year or better than he was last year. And then you have another gentleman named Roy Robinson Harris. Came to the program same year when Bohannon came through, signed with the Chicago Bears, and last year he made the team, made the practice squad first, then was promoted to the active roster, came out, did very well on special teams. But this preseason, he just went off. Had a couple of sacks, several tackles, showed that he can be an added piece to that very good, impressive defensive front that the Chicago Bears has. And I really think they're going to give the Packers a hard way to go Sunday night. And he's going to be a part of that, which I'm very happy about, very pleased with. And he's one of those guys that has made the pro player combine what it is. You're listening to Lock the Talk. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. Now you have another gentleman.
Hey there, this is L.A. Bachelor, host of the Bachelor Pad show from the Bachelor Pad Network.
And a gentleman named Brandon Copeland, who's a linebacker. Sorry about the interruption, but we'll still roll right on through. Linebacker Brandon Copeland, who is actually from the Baltimore area, came through the regional combine in 2014, played in the league briefly with the Ravens and then the Titans, came through the pro player, got injured when he signed with the Detroit Lions, but now he's healthy 100%, playing for the Jets right now. He's more of a hybrid linebacker. He did make that active roster this year, so you're going to see a lot of him out there on the field with special teams and also to bring depth into their front seven that they have there as well. This year's pro player, two players made it through. One of them is Keenan Reynolds, who everyone pretty much is familiar with college football, that he was the Navy quarterback a couple of years ago that set records in touchdowns, rushing yards, and passing yards. The Baltimore Ravens wound up drafting him in 2016, I believe in the fifth round. Didn't quite make work out because he transitioned from a quarterback to a wide receiver, actually trying to make that transition for the new position that he has in the NFL to make sure he have a career in the NFL. And there's nothing wrong with, converting to another position to have a career in this great league. And so that's what he did. Still trying to hone his craft, which is something that he works on constantly. And when he came through the pro player, he looked really good in his workout. Had several teams that contacted him. He felt as though the Seattle Seahawks would be his best fit. Had a solid preseason. He did not make the active roster. He did make their practice squad, but I do see him making it to the active roster sometime this year, knowing that the Seahawks kind of lack in that passing support, the receiving support, which is no problem. And then your other person, Justin Zimmer. Justin Zimmer came through the platform in 2016. I saw him work out in Houston. He pretty much was a YouTube junkie where he was showing all his power that he can lift, how he was able to bench press about 42 times, but really showed what he can really do with his legs and his footwork. Came through the workout very smooth. Signed with a couple of teams. Actually went to the Canadian League for a brief period of time. But came through the pro player this year, worked his butt off. The Atlanta Falcons picked him up. You really saw a lot of him during the preseason because they wanted to see what he can get, because one of the things that the Atlanta Falcons struggle with is pressure up front, and which is something that we saw Thursday night. They still try to get that situated where they can get pressure up the front, and they brought him in because he's still one of those guys that can actually find pressure up the middle, so they have him in there. So that's a good pickup. They were the guys that came, there's some of the guys that came through the pro player combine that's on squads now, and now they're ready to kick off this campaign to be able to contribute to that team, whether if they're going to be practicing with them all week to make the team better, or when they get promoted to the active roster to really help the team out on game day. You listen to Lock the Talk, Bachelor Pad Radio. I'm your host, Barry Barnes. I'm going to take a quick break. Then I'm going to come back, talk about the rest of the guys from the regional combine, and then get into some of the games in week one with where some of these guys will actually have some kind of impact to help those teams be successful in the season opener. Thank you. I'm coming right back.
Hey there, this is L.A. Bachelor, host of the Bachelor Pad show from the Bachelor Pad Network, inviting you to tune in on Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for the Donaldson File with your hosts Tom Donaldson and Coco Cosney. They bring politics and other perspectives from the left and from the right. The Donaldson Files every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network.
All right, I'm back. Thanks a lot. I hope everyone took that a quick break because now I'm about to start talking about some week one stuff. A little different from what you may hear on television, but that's okay. It's the NFL. I'm enlightening you guys with some good stuff so you have something to talk about that most of the people who do look at the NFL probably won't know. So I promise you I will help you be the most smartest NFL fan when you go back to work going into this week. Now, the remaining players from the regional combine that's on the squad, there are 42 players that will be active this week in the NFL, which is great. So I'm really excited about that. Out of that, 74 players, the most ever, to come from that umbrella to start week one. Out of the players that came through the regional combine, which is around, calculated around, 58 players. 11 of those are rookies. Now, the start of this year, we have 17 rookies that came through. 11 of these players actually made the teams. Majority of them are undrafted players. And one of the players that's going to stand out that I'm about to talk about now with the New England Patriots game with the Houston Texans. Now, that's almost the type of game you can look at as far as the torch being passed and the torch being accepted. Now, when Tom Brady retires from the NFL, who will be that person that will stand up and be that person to be that quarterback in that conference? Ah, they're going to be the front of the can. I was waiting for it. Deshaun Watson could very well be that player. I'm not putting my chips all into Andrew Luck because I think that, personally, he's overrated. He's a good quarterback, but I think that he's not that quarterback how the media is putting him out there. So I really think that Deshaun Watson is going to be one of those players. He could throw that name into the hat. That who's going to be that transition quarterback. So Ben Roethlisberger not going to play much longer. So the Rivers not going to play much longer. So someone has to step up, and Watson could be that guy. Now, Watson has some good talent around him, but he also has an additional talent. One of my favorite guys to come to the workout this year is the Vincent Smith. Vincent Smith is a Division II product from Limestone College that kicked butt during the preseason, number 17. I'm not going to say he's going to have a lot of playing time against the Patriots tomorrow, but on Sunday. But expect to see number 17 catch some balls during this game or throughout the rest of the season. I really see that he can probably have some impact in this game. I'm looking forward to that matchup, watching the torch being passed, the torch being accepted, and knowing that we have a regional combine player that could be in the midst of that great development there. And with Deshaun Watson in the Houston Texans. Now, another active player that came through the process, Dietrich Nichols, who's a cornerback for the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals. Now, Nichols is a small guy, 6'10", 189 pounds, but he plays bigger than his body. He's not afraid of contact, and he has decent hands. Watching him coming through the platform this year, he was one of those guys that I really enjoyed to watch. The Cardinals will play against the Washington Redskins, and we all know Alex Smith will be the new quarterback. Washington is not going to be one of those teams that he can somewhat push over, so to speak, although they do have another running back, Adrian Peterson. They lost their first-round pick earlier this year during the preseason with an ACL tear, so they really have to find something with them in the running game. Now, can Jordan Reed stay healthy? We don't know. But I do believe that the Cardinals have something for the Washington Redskins. I know Washington's defense is going to be okay to slow down. Will they be consistent? We don't know. But I do know the Cardinals on the defense side of the ball will have a chance to help keep them in that game to slow down Alex Smith and his debut with the Washington Redskins. And Nichols is going to be a part of that So watch out for number 39 in this matchup. Now, for the rest of the players, the rookies that came through, they all made a practice squad. Still, they're still a part of the league. They made the NFL. Austin Crowe, who was actually drafted by the Buffalo Bills, who I was really high on, he actually signed with the Tennessee Titans. Then you have a guy named Patrick F. Finley, who came from Colgate University, who made the practice squad for the San Diego Chargers. Defensive end, a lot of leverage, really strong. He's going to be something special in this league, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. And now, we cannot forget a school, a program for the HBCU. And Brigham Cookman have a wide receiver named Jarrell Davis, who's almost, in my opinion, that can be compared to, you know, a Tyreek Hill. He's a little bigger. He's just as fast, have good hands, and he could be that cog that the Giants will call upon sometime this season. He's that talented. He's very quick. He's going to be very good on special teams, especially as a return man. So watch out for Davis. I really believe that he'll get his opportunity sometime today. It's really good. I mean, sometime this season. It's always great to see a player from the HBCU product program come undrafted, but still show that he has talent to be in the NFL. And he's shown that, and I'm really excited for him and his family. Now, Mike Love, who was actually a teammate of Dietrich Nichols in South Florida, he made the practice squad for the Buffalo Bills. Now, I've been back and forth with Mike the other day on Instagram, congratulating him, talking to him. He still wants his images from the pictures from the workout. I'm going to send it to him, but definitely a whole lot of congratulations back and forth, a lot of encouragement going back to him, telling him to be ready because his time will come. He's a defensive end who can also play linebacker, but he's best suited at the defensive end where he got at the quarterback and know how to tackle very fundamentally sound. Then you have another guy named Joe Orchman, another player I was really high on this year, played for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a tweener. He's a workout junkie. The Eagles are best fit that he'll be a defensive end instead of being a linebacker. Coming from Central Michigan, he will get his time sometime this year as well. And then from Bucknell, Abdul Anderson. I talked to this young man when they played against the Ravens in the Hall of Fame game, and he was excited. He had a great monster game, and then he started to see more playing time after preseason. Actually ended the preseason on a high note with four tackles, and he have a high motor. He know how to get to the quarterback. Is a run stuffer, and he definitely have a lot of speed. He made that practice squad with the Chicago Bears. That's one player I'm quite for sure that by mid-season he will be a part of that central piece to bring depth to that front seven that they have. And speaking of which, when the Chicago Bears hit the field against the Green Bay Packers, it's going to be the 100-year rivalry for the Packers, and this is the longest rivalry in sports in the NFL. The Packers have a player there named Robert Tanger, who was actually a tight end. I talked about this young man during the course of the preseason. He actually made their practice squad. I really see him being in a situation where Aaron Rodgers will talk to him a lot, especially when we get the opportunity to play on the field. Now, he's going to have to go against Robinson Harris. Robinson Harris, he's going to be on that tight end. Watch out for that matchup. Number 87 versus number 95. I really believe they're going to have that opportunity where they will meet in the middle. It's not often you will see primetime players from the regional combine going at each other. So that's going to be a matchup Sunday night. So definitely watch out for dealing with that. Now, the 49ers going against the Vikings. Now, I consider a great offensive mind going against in Shanahan, going against a great defensive mind in Zimmer. In that mix, the Vikings will have a weapon there in Adam Thielen, the Pro Bowler from last year. He will have some say, knowing he had another quarterback that's better, and I think the Vikings are going to be a lot better with Cousins than they was with Keenum. And actually, is what I look at as being that team to beat in this conference this year, and Adam Thielen will be a part of that. For the 49ers, they don't have no He's a combine player, active, but on the practice squad, they have quarterback Nick Mullins and wide receiver Stephen Tumbar Jr., who's actually that biggest wide receiver, that biggest target, who actually runs a lot like Terrell Owens. I see him being active sometime this year because he is a big body target. Not the fastest, but a big body target that Jimmy G can hit this season. That's going to be a really good matchup to watch out for. Could be a conference title game, probably not this year in the making, but at least next year. But somehow, some way, these two teams will meet in the postseason. So this is a matchup to watch for down the road. When you look at the Titans and Dolphins, nothing too big in that game, but it really would like to see what Marcus, what Mariota would do to start the season going against the Dolphins. Oh, man, the game is getting down this morning. All right, we'll still continue to roll right along with the, I would say, with the Steelers and the Browns. Now, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the Browns are going to play. I'm a Hard Knocks lifer. I watch the show every year, and after watching the show, you always have a lot of hope that that team is actually going to do well. Well, unfortunately, it seems as though every time a team goes through Hard Knocks, they really have a Hard Knock season. Last year, the Bucks really didn't do too well. I mean, when the year when the Cowboys went, they didn't do too well. You know, even the year when the Ravens went, they didn't do too well. Even the Rams, really didn't do too well to come through Hard Knocks. You may want to consider the Madden curse and then switch it over to the Hard Knocks curse. I'm hoping the Browns will actually, you know, eclipse that. And considering that they have been bad for the past several years, that they cannot be worse than what they were. They only won one game in two seasons. This should be the year they should turn things around. They have football players, they have football men, football personnel there. It's going to turn things around. And in the midst of the Browns, they do have one guy there from the regional combine, and his name is Denzel Rice. Denzel Rice has paid his dues coming through the process of 2015. He wasn't healthy a lot of the years that he was in the league, but he persevered, had a solid preseason. One of the things that the Browns need is help in their secondary. I think Rice is going to be one of those guys that can actually help turn things around. We talked for his number 37. He got these big brown dreads. But the kid is really good. Good special teamer. I think that he's going to be that missing piece that they could use, knowing that Joe Hayden is no longer there because he's with the Steelers. I think he's going to be pretty good for that team. I'm really looking for the Browns to really do some stuff this year. Normally have a solid quarterback and Tyrod Taylor, who don't get a lot of props the way he should, but he's going to do mighty things in this league until he bridges everything over to Baker Mayfield, which is definitely going to happen. So he's going to take that role, and I really believe that Denzel Rice is going to help that defense, another product from the NFL Regional Combine, which I'm really excited about. Now, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys and Panthers, you see the Cowboys going to really try to turn things around. The Cowboys are one of the teams in the league that do not have a player from the Regional Combine. But I'm really looking for Ife, the player from Expo Nigeria, that came through the International Player Pathway program. We're looking to seeing him have some good playing time against this Dallas defense. Watch out for number 71. Coming around the edge, he's very fast, very agile. And plus, he used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys somewhat gave up on him because he didn't have all the techniques now. So now he can actually, you know, have some revenge against the team that let him go. So I'm really looking out for that matchup. That's pretty much it for us to run down for week one. Talk about the players to the regional combine. Next week, I'll talk about what they did, give you a full recap of what they did and what to expect going into week two. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into Locker Talk with your host, Barry Barnes. Go to my site, check it out, locker-report.com. Send me a message anytime. You send it to my email directly, barrybarnes@locker-report.com, or Twitter, locker_report, Instagram, lockreport100, and on Facebook, lockreport.com. Thank you for listening to Locker Talk, where you hear about NFL players, NFL stars of tomorrow, today. I hope everyone stay blessed. Enjoy week one. Everyone stay safe out there. Peace.
how long are you going to be?
I don't know, babe, but I have to go.
Hey, Bill. Left your phone.
Other thing, and you could be anywhere else but listening to this broadcast. We thank you for being a part of it. 646-929-0130, the number to get in touch with us. Press 1 to get on the line. You can ask questions to all of our guests on Facebook at our Facebook page at Pad Nation, and on Twitter, Pad Nation 2. That's Pad Nation, the number 2 at Twitter. Want to go right to the phones and bring in my first guest. He, of course, is a former NFL linebacker with my Pittsburgh Steelers, also Arizona Cardinals, one of the standouts at Clemson, which we'll touch on in a bit, too. He is LeVon Kirkland, and I love calling you Coach Kirkland. I know you're out of it for a minute, but you'll get back in. But I appreciate you, Mr. Kirkland, for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be on your show.
Absolutely. Always good to have you on. So I'm looking at this Steeler team, and, you know, being so, you know, Steeler fans,
you know, I can be objective, but as a fan and other fans, going through your years and up to now, frustration with a couple times here and there, it seems to be a theme, especially with this particular group led by Ben Roethlisberger. You know, having the talent, having the skill set, having the athleticism, but falling short. Last year, this was the year to get past New England. Did not happen. What goes into it, Coach, I'll call you, when you have so much high expectations from your peers and the media and even your own team, and then, you know, you fall short? I mean, what goes into it in terms of getting past that disappointment and moving on, getting ready for the next season?
Well, I think that's just it. A lot of times from a disappointing season, you can learn a whole lot about yourself, where your shortcomings were, your strengths. And I think sometimes having a disappointing season, actually, if it's a collective thing, and especially if your players take ownership of it, it could really promote a better year, because the guys are going to work a little harder. They're going to be a little bit more focused. They're going to be more into the bigger picture, helping their teammates become better, forgetting about their individual stats and playing for the bigger goal. And I've been on a team like that. You know, we had a disappointing year, but the very next year we kind of rallied back and we played well and had an excellent season. So, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, you don't want to have a disappointing season, especially from a fan standpoint, but it does happen. I mean, these guys are human beings. But the cool thing is you can bounce back from it. And I think the Steelers have enough talent. They got younger on defense to make that happen. So it'll be an interesting year. You know, first game is coming up, and we'll see what happens.
Talking with LeVon Kirkland, of course, former Steeler on the pad. And, you know, LeVon, when you look at veterans on this team, like the Roethlisbergers, you know, the lesser degree to Antonio Browns, but guys have been at the Pouncey's and guys have been on this team for a minute. How, maybe not disrespectful is the word, but how disappointing, or is it disappointing, when you see a guy like Le'Veon Bell hold out? I understand it's a capitalist society. I understand go get your money. But is that a distraction? And do guys, when you played on the squad, do you pull guys aside? You call them up and say, look, man, we're trying to do something special here. We need you in camp. But how does that play out?
Well, wow. Now, that's a tough one. When you're talking about guys potentially getting a new contract or want a new contract, I always believe that you really never fault a guy for trying to get his money. You know that the guy is a professional, and when he does come back, that he's going to perform. He's going to perform well for you. I think most guys are really, you know, I think it's hard to call a guy out like that, to be, in my personal opinion, because
right. You
wouldn't want to be called out if you were in that same circumstance. And in football, there's no guarantee. Well, there's a guarantee, but the contract itself, a lot of times, there's no guarantee money. You may not get all your base money. And I know the fans, and people look at it like, oh, you know, you need to be loyal. And it seems like that's what football teaches you, about loyalty and playing for your teammates. But I think when you get to that level, and especially being a running back, your career is really shelved. And you have to make sure that you get well compensated. So I don't hate on a guy for doing that. I can understand where fans maybe get frustrated with that. But you got to think about it, you know, especially a running back. I bet their careers are probably shorter than the average football player. So if you got a chance to capitalize on getting a big bonus or getting a big, you know, signing day, are a good contract, you got to go for it, I think. I think that most players in that situation will understand. And throughout my career, I understood if a guy was trying to get more money or he was trying to redo his contract. I got it. You know, it was not my place to say, hey, you need to be back on the team. Because the cool thing about playing professional sports, you got the best 1% of the guys playing the sport. The Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, too, have been an excellent organization throughout time. So I think that, when he comes back on the team, he's back on the team, that he's going to play ball. He's been there before. He's going to run hard. He's going to do what he needs to do. I don't think you need to do that as far as a veteran's concerned. I think that if your core is together and the organization is together, it pulls through distractions like these.
Yeah, and I just want to be clear, too, because I'm in total agreement, not just in the great game that you play, but just in general, if you have an opportunity to get that money, especially – and you being very kind, I mean, signing bonuses in your game is guaranteed. Everything else is pretty much toilet tissue. I mean, and it's the right. And it's the most brutal sport, in my opinion, hockey notwithstanding, and the less appreciated. We'll get to that in a second. So no animosity in the sense of the players, the coaches. I don't, management is management, but no animosity from Coach Tomlin, you think, Big Ben, anybody in that sort of circle when he comes back? All right, he's back. Let's get the roll. Let's get to winning some games.
Exactly. I think when you have a player as special as Le'Veon Bell, you just welcome back into the flow. Man, we're happy to have you back.
Right.
Hey, understand what we're going to do with this opponent, and hopefully you're in enough shape that you can really help us out, but you welcome any player like that back. I mean, I remember Carnell Lake, he didn't show up too late, but trust me, we were just like, Lake, we're so happy to have you back. We really are. And I think that's how it is for, players. And usually the really great players are the ones who can hold out. It's not
right.
Like your second string linebacker is going to be able to hold out. That won't work. But but an excellent player like Bell can hold out, and his players, the players are going to understand, and they're going to welcome back with open arms. So as a coach, as anybody, you welcome back. And probably in the probably the family, the Rooney family, management probably would have liked for him to be there sooner, just to ease their minds. But trust me, everybody's happy that he's back.
Talking with LeVon Kirkland, of course, former Pittsburgh Steelers, Arizona Cardinals linebacker, one of the greats, in my opinion. Of course, great player linebacker at Clemson. Also was an outside linebackers coach and coach with the Cardinals. Let's talk about this defense to start with the linebackers. You have a kid in T.J. Watt coming in. He's already got pressure of being the younger brother of, one of the premier defensive linemen in the game in Houston and J.J. And then he's got the pressure. Now it's been announced that he's going to start over Old Man Time, who I love, play like you, and James Harrison. So how much pressure goes into that, both from a nepotism standpoint, his brother's in the league already established, and then, as a rookie – you're going to be getting more reps than one of the future Hall of Famer in James Harrison. What type of pressure would he feel? Did you have to deal with that when you first came in?
Oh, yeah. I think anytime you step into that starting lineup, it's pressure because it's not only about you, but it's about your teammates and helping your teammates play against another opponent and win against that opponent. James Harris is a legend, a living legend on that field. And so the expectations are very high. And I think lucky for him that he does have a brother who's been in the league, understands the lead and can give that information to him. So my thing is, you know, it's really, you know, I don't really know the kid personally, but I'm sure that he's thinking of this in a positive way. And, you know, I would just tell him just, hey, be yourself, do your job, and everything's going to turn out fine. But that is a monster, you know, because I played, you know, I was starting for when David Little left, I was the starting linebacker. And not only that, I was a signal caller at the time. And I was looking at Rod Woodson, Greg Lloyd, Kevin Green, Carnell Lake, and I'm looking at those guys in the front calling those signals. So that was a good bit of pressure. And I didn't have a brother that played in the professional league before. I didn't know really how to handle it. I just knew that I had to handle it. At some point, I had to win the respect of my teammates. And no question about it, anytime you get on that field, it's not about winning the respect of your coaches. It's about winning the respect of your players, your fellow players, your fellow teammates. If you do that, you're going to be fine. But, yeah, you know, there's no question that he has a lot on his plate. But I would just suggest to him that the first thing you do is make sure your job is covered, that you're doing your job to the best of your ability, making sure that you have your gap, you have containment, whatever you have, that you do that 100 miles per hour, and you're going to be fine. You're going to make mistakes. There's going to be some things that you don't do well. But, you know, I always say players are going to play. The real players, the real dogs, they're going to show up. And if they feel that he's that guy, he better show up. Because the fans and the media will let, you know, they will let it be known if he doesn't do a good job. Especially, exactly. Like you said, I mean, you got James Harrison that's been all everything for Pittsburgh for a very long time, especially the proud tradition that you have at linebacker with the Steelers. So he needs to get it done.
Yeah, that's it. That's where I was going with it. I mean, you got Lambert, Ham, you got you and some of the great linebackers there. You mentioned Greg Lloyd, and now you have a James Harrison, you know, and here comes this kid who's coming from a different type of system. You know, it's still running a lot of zone blitzes and different schemes, so he's going to have to learn pretty fast to be successful. Before I go to the phones and let Reggie Howe ask some questions for you, what about the back end? You know, you covered that middle, one of the best, and certainly Carnell Lake and Rod Woodson and guys like that did well. You know, you look at a Troy Polamalu. Now you got the Artie Burns and the Crowells, and you have this new kid, the name escaped me, coming in. They're very young, like you said, they're very talented, and they can be somewhat physical, but, you know, are the Steelers going to have to do a little different in the back end? I mean, we saw what the Patriots did with the dink and dunk. Too much zone in the back, not enough pressure. I mean, people can debate it. I'm not I didn't play at the highest level like you did, but it just seems as though the schemes are not conducive to the talent they have back there. Talk about that and talk about how tough it is, you know, as a rookie or a young player to learn their schemes, you know, in the secondary.
Well, you know, that's where, you know, your coaches come into play. I think that it's always important to not only know your opponents, but know who you are and what you can do. So you want to have trust that you put your players in excellent position to succeed, and that you know your opponent and know what they're going to do. So you can have young talent. You can have guys who can do some incredible things athletically. But football is especially on the defensive side, man, it's very much a team sport. And you got to you got to understand what you can do and what you can't do. So, and you never know, you know, the first game is not always the indicator of what you can and what you can't do. It will be some games that you will find out, okay, this is what we can do well, this is what we can't do. So I always feel that coaches are in the business of putting their great athletes in position to win games and to be successful. So that's the thing. You know, you got to figure out what you can do. Hopefully you can learn that through training camp, but sometimes, you know, situation occurs when you may have to replace somebody or do something a little different. So it's an ongoing process. But I think if you know yourself and you know your opponent, you're going to do some good things. You shouldn't be worried about if you're going to win or not. So that's the question mark. You don't really know that right now. So I'm sure they're going to do different schemes, you know, disguise very well, making sure they stem around, don't show the quarterback exactly what they're going to do. If you do that, you know, you got a chance. You know, nowadays these quarterbacks are so good and offenses are so good, and the game is made for the NFL game is made for offenses to succeed. So it's hard to play defense nowadays. It really is. The art of defense has really left. I mean, you can't do some things that you could do back in the day that would make people go away from their game plan. So,
right.
You know, I think it's just a matter of just understanding yourself and doing the right things and putting yourself in some opportunistic situation. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and, you know, LaVonda, the game was – they were taking away stuff when you played. I mean, so it's been going on for a long time. Defense, I mean, you literally need to be like 10 yards off a guy or you're going to get a flag. Don't even come close to brushing him or they're going to say impeding the progress and pass interference and everything else. And, you know, as much as I love some of the Steeler wide receivers even, and I look like, wow, we got away with one like that. But, you know, it's just – I'm a defensive guy, so, you know, I hate to see the game the way it is. But, you know, like you said – it is what it is. Talking with LaVon Kirkland, of course, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Arizona Cardinals, on that Steeler team that went toe-to-toe with the Dallas Cowboys. Our next co-host on the line is a Cowboy fan. He's a sports talk show host at WCLM.
In
Richmond, Virginia. He is Reggie Howell. Reggie, I know you got questions. Go ahead, Reg.
Hey, Coach Kirkland, look, you've been on our show many a times, and, you know, I never threw that up at you, so it's an honor and pleasure. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
Let's talk about your Clemson Tigers with the injury to the quarterback for the Florida State. Seems like y'all guys back here in the defeat your Tigers national champs. What do you think?
You know what? I can't say that well. I think that Clemson, as a national championship, as a national champion team, you know, they're going to always have a target in the back. There's always going to – the teams that play them are going to play to another level. Now it's up to Clemson, especially with the new quarterback they have. How is he going to react to teams like Auburn, Louisville, Florida State that all want their get back? South Carolina looks to be a lot better than they were last year. So, you know, as a champ, man, you always got to be the champ. You always got to be the man. You always got to be the lion. So,
yeah.
I think Clemson will do, you know, I think Clemson will, you know, as long as their target man is a pretty good player, they always have a chance to win games because they basically have the wide receivers, the running backs, the offensive line, you know, their defensive line is back. I think maybe the question is the defensive backfield, but they should be a pretty good team, and I think they would definitely compete yet again for another chance to be in the NCAA playoffs. So it's going to be intriguing. It's going to be interesting to see them play.
Yeah, we just talked about Florida A&M. I mean, they did a pretty good job against Texas Southern, which brings me to a good friend of mine, Coach Mike London, who took his lonely little Howell University team, 45-point underdog, and went to UNLV and kicked some hiney. I loved it. And then even Stephen A. Smith talked about it. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Well, when you beat the biggest point spread in the history of college football, I think that really deserves some mentioning. So, yeah. But you never know. I mean, a lot of times, you think that game is going to be a wash. And, you know, it's really about, you know, the culture change, you know, having a new coach. And it's sometimes on that level, that's what you got to get out. It's not the athletes. It's not like they can't play. But it's a lot of other things that involve football that you got to get across the board. You got to get everybody to buy into it. And definitely Howard really bought into it, especially when you have success on the field that day. After a while, man, it's a thing called law of momentum. And that thing is, boy, she is ruthless, and she will turn her back on you. And you got to be able to fight that. And they fought it. You know, they did a good job of going out there and beating a team that they had no business beating. And that's going to be a building block for the rest of the year.
Recovery Month has become widely recognized and does an outstanding job of celebrating recovery, increasing awareness, and acknowledging the amazing work of providers, advocates, people in recovery, and their families. I believe our work together is helping many Americans better understand, seek out, attain, and sustain recovery. What began as a small and very good idea has grown into a national, mainstream, sustained, and systematic public education and support effort, all focused on the message that people recover. Getting the message of recovery right is critical because people take action based on what they hear and see, and most importantly, what they experience. Experience shapes our knowledge, our values, our attitudes, our beliefs, and our action. Of those who recognized their need for treatment but didn't receive care, the number one reason was no health coverage and could not afford the cost. No one in need should be denied the opportunity for treatment and recovery in our country.